Hey, all you listeners, before we jump into the podcast, I'd like to take care of a couple legal issues and a little forbearance of what you're about to listen to. Some podcasts are somewhat explicit and touch on some harsh topics when it comes to the mental health field. Listener discretion is advised. Also, for the legal purposes and the protection of our show and guests, we'd like to also remind you that all these stories that are shared by everyone on air are alleged events that have occurred. Please keep that in mind. And again, we enjoy having you here. So welcome and enjoy the show. Welcome, everyone. Please come in, join me. This podcast is an open door for those seeking a little hope that'll spark a fire. This is Spread Hope Like Fire. I'm your host, Tony the Beat. I bring this podcast to the world every Tuesday and Thursday of each and every week. You can get this podcast several ways. iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Overcast. You can even listen to it on YouTube. Some ways that you, the listeners, can support this podcast is rate, review, Facebook it out, Instagram it out, Snapchat it out, LifeJournal it out, text it to a friend, MySpace it, Twitter it. Wake up from a drunken slumber and drunk dial your ex-girlfriend at 3 a.m. and let her know. You listen to the best podcast out there. Spread hope like fire. Also, I'd like to mention this is a listener-supported podcast, which is supported by you lovely listeners. Be sure to head over to patreon.com/spreadhopelikefire and become a patron of the show. All it costs is $1. Not much has been going on with me lately. Just school, homework, working on myself like usual. I hope everyone else is doing well this Thursday morning. This week on the show, we've got my buddy Nestor. He's a good friend of mine. He's a real supporter of everything I do, to say the least. He's been in a couple movies that I've shot, and we'll get into that later in his podcast. And it's really a funny story on his dad and everything, and what his dad thought I did for a living. So we'll get into that. And I just hope you enjoy this podcast. It's with my buddy Nestor. He's going to talk about the loss of his father, and let's just get into it.
Do that again.
Si, si.
No, do the counting in Spanish.
Oh, uno, dos, tres, probando. Si, si.
All right, we're here with my guest of the of this week. He's Fabi's brother. His name is Nestor Frausto. Can you spell that for everyone?
No, I think your pronunciation nailed it. I don't think there's a need.
Okay. And we're just going to get into a little chatting here, talking about their organization. He's the one that created it. Were you the one that created it?
I was the one that created it.
And it's called...
Viva Fuerte.
Yeah, I can't say. I'm not bilingual. How'd that start?
It was just kind of spur of the moment. Not so much spur of the moment, but just as luck would have it. I was getting really heavy into running, and I went to a race, and at each race they give you like a bag with like flyers, and in there was a flyer for the Central Coast Cancer Challenge, and they gave a discount for a team, and I thought it'd be really cool to get a team together for my family and friends to join me to doing what I love to do, which is running. To get them out there, and we needed a team name, and that was our team name. We got some shirts made, and now it's gone a whole lot longer than that, and grown a whole lot more than that, and it's turned into something pretty cool.
I still haven't gotten my shirt, though.
Well, you have to pay for your shirt, you know?
I'm a moocher.
That's kind of how it works, you know? No, but we still do make shirts and merchandise. Most of that stuff is just to cover costs and just to get the awareness out there for breast cancer. But now we're kind of branching off in different directions as Viva Fuerte is not so much about breast cancer, but just something bigger than that. And everybody has their personal battles, and whether it be with cancer, which cancer sucks, but other diseases and just struggles that everyone goes through. And it's kind of become a battle cry for not only me, but for a lot of people. And it's really awesome to see, and it's really humbling to see people join in on what you believe in.
If someone wanted to join, how do they go about joining? Besides me, I don't think I'm an eligible candidate.
It's not so much joining, right? It's not like you have to fill out an application. And we either reject you or we accept you. And Tony, if that was that way, we would probably put a big old reject stamp on top of it. No, I'm just kidding.
Jerk.
No, we have an Instagram. We have a group on Facebook. We actually have an event every year where we raise money to give out a scholarship. Last year was the first year we actually gave out a scholarship to a kid, and it was a pretty awesome night, and it's a real great event for everybody that attends.
Yeah, you started it. Fabby kind of laid the groundwork for, like, your mom and what happened, and you guys, well, you started this because your mom, right?
So my mom and my dad, they were really big in the church and in volunteering, so they taught us from a young age to serve others. It started off as a way to honor her, and then bring breast cancer awareness, not let her story die and her battle die with breast cancer. And now it's turned into the other part of it, is what they raised us to do, and that's to help serve others and help those that are that need help. And that's what we're doing right now with the scholarship, and it's just great.
Yeah, me and Fabby got into a lot about your mom, but we didn't really get much into your dad. Your dad was really cool. I got to meet him, and I didn't get to meet your mom, but your dad thought I sold porn or made porn, remember?
Yeah, well, I mean, you're kind of built like that way, you know, you just kind of give off the vibe that you are a porn star, you know, so that might be it.
No, he just, you told him, you're a jerk. You told him I made pornos, and he was just like,
you got to give him the backstory.
I don't really remember. I just remember I was at your house.
So my dad was asking me for a while, like, where I was at and who was this Tony guy that I kept on hanging around with.
Oh, yeah,
back in your filmmaking days and with the Rent-A-Cops and all that other good stuff, you know. And I can't just tell him that he's an independent filmmaker. That's too boring, you know. I had to liven it up. And my dad's looking at Tony like, what the hell, you make porn?
Yeah. Your dad was really cool, though. Yeah, he was involved in the church, and I think he taught you guys... he taught you guys a lot. He gave you guys a lot of strength and spiritually, and he recently passed away, and that was... I remember talking to Fabby about it for a long time, about him passing away, and... how devastated she said she was going to be. But how did you take it?
My dad had a heart attack when I was in high school. He only had about 40, maybe 45% of his heart was working after he had a triple bypass about 14 years ago. So when he had the heart attack, I remember talking to God and letting him know that my dad wasn't mine, you know. It was him. Whenever it was his time to go, it was going to be his time to go. Just ask me for the strength to carry on after he was gone. So it's kind of like, since he had that heart attack and since he had that surgery, like, you kind of figure that he's not living on borrowed time, but kind of you kind of realize that you have to appreciate him every day. And it was something that he actually, that he showed us after his heart attack, was to appreciate every day and to thank God for every day, because when he had his heart attack, it took him, I think it was 40 hours before he went to the emergency room. So it was kind of one of those things where he was lucky to be alive. So he shared that on with him and, or with us. And with him, it was kind of one of those things when my mom passed away, he had already had the heart attack. And we weren't sure how he was going to take it, if he was going to be able to survive. And he was a warrior. He trusted in God. And he was able to lead not only me, but my brothers and sisters on how to live without her. And he kind of showed us the way. Which, I mean, I'm glad that he did, because if it wasn't for him, I'm not sure how any of us would have made it out of it if it wasn't for us following his example of him always thanking God, even after my mom passed away, being taken away by cancer. He showed us to be grateful for every day.
The one thing that I remember specifically when your dad passed away was I was driving around in my Mario Kart VW Beetle. And I wanted to stop by your guys' house just to, you know, see what was going on. I don't know, just stop by. And the one image that I was jealous of you guys was all three of you guys were walking the dog, and then your niece, your sister-in-law, and Fabi, and your brother. And I was like, what the? I'm like a little jealous because you guys are so tight knit.
Yeah, and that was, I don't.
That's, I think that has to do a lot with your parents raising you to be very close. Like most families, like they'll come together when someone dies and then they split back apart and go out their separate ways. But you guys have always been tight knit.
Yeah, and I think that has a lot to do with our parents, just teaching us to love one another and not settling on fights and being like, oh, I'm not talking to my brother because we got in a fight. I'm not talking to my sister because she pissed me off yesterday. You know, they taught us to be a tight-knit group, and they taught us to get over a lot of stuff. And I still remember I only ever getting in one fight with my brother. And I remember I was like in second grade. He was in sixth grade. And I don't even remember what he told me, but I remember I punched him in the stomach, and he was about to crack me, and my mom came out, and she took us in, and she whooped both of our butts, dude. And I remember her wailing on us and being like, you guys don't fight each other. Or you guys don't fight each other. You guys fight with other people together. Like, you guys are all you got. And ever since then, like, we we never really gotten to fight. Like, there's nothing too big. And I think, especially in high school, like, seeing my dad and all that stuff, we kind of figured out that that's all we had was each other, and that one day when they weren't gone, we had to be together, and we had to be united. And it's kind of one of those things where we've been united in crisis, and or not crisis, but in tragedy. The tragedies made us stronger and made us come together and come out of it positively, you know. And sadly, not everybody comes out of everything positively, but we're able to just because of what our parents taught us, and it's awesome.
Another thing that I wanted to like touch on was both your parents have passed away, and you and Fabi aren't married, but you just got engaged. And how do you deal with that? That thought of your mom and dad aren't going to be here.
Yeah, I think that was when my dad passed away. I think I probably cried more at my dad's funeral, than at my mom's funeral, just because, I knew when I wanted to propose, I knew what was going to be ahead of me, you know? And then just knowing that I wasn't going to have my dad there for all of that, it really hurt. I remember, I remember right before they closed the casket, I had my fiance Stephanie with me and our two daughters right there, and it was just most of the tears that I was crying there was not because my dad was not gonna be there, but I think it was more for selfish reasons, you know, that I wasn't gonna have him there to see him grow up. But after, it's just a lot of prayer and stuff, and what they taught us was to always keep God in our life, and that's what helped us get through, and just the little things, you know, in the everyday life that show me that they're not gone, you know, and they're still around here, and they're up there watching together, and doesn't matter that my dad's not here, because they're going to be up there in heaven when I get married, and they're going to be there watching over us.
And you can finally see that where you're hanging out with me again, and we're not making porno this time.
Yeah. They can finally see that you're not that bad of a guy. You're all right, dude. You know.
Yeah. Your dad was very inspirational, and I think that he did a really good job with raising you guys, along with your mom. Fabi shared a lot about. She took it hard when your mom passed away. I remember that.
So Fabi might be the oldest, but somehow she's it might be because she's the girl, but she's the baby of the family, and she kind of cries for all of us, and she'll probably live to be like 100 because she gets her emotions out and stuff. But she's like my dad. She's a spitting image of my dad, and how she puts her heart and soul into everything, and she loves with all she's got, and that's why she's, I don't want to say a crybaby, but that's why she takes it hard. But she's tougher than nails. She knows how to get back up, but it's just it. I guess I don't know if it is tough. Being a girl than a boy, but I think
so. There's a lot of things that they go through that we don't.
Yeah, it's like childbirth.
Like childbirth. I know. totally okay with that. I don't give no birth, no kid. So you said you took it harder when your dad passed away than your mom. Is it because it was so sudden?
No, it was just because I was thinking of all the things that my dad wasn't going to get to see, and how much he loves kids, and not being able to see his grandkids grow up was more in line with why I took it harder. It was one of those things where it was just weird, like how it all happened, and then looking back, like how much it all made sense, and we should have known kind of like something was wrong, or like not that he had been planning it, but how, I don't know, I always say my dad's a hopeless romantic, but he passed away 2 days before my mom's anniversary. That Friday before he passed away, he was handing out the scholarship to the kid that won it. He was handing out the scholarship to Sergio, and I remember leading up, he just kept on saying how he wanted to go up there, but he didn't want to cry when he was talking, and I remember him getting up there and not knowing he was going to get up there. We thought he was just going to hand it over, and him asking for the microphone and being able to hand it out, and thanking everyone for all their support, and making sure everybody gave Sergio a big round of applause. And then 2 days later, going to church with us. And then it was kind of one of those things like he knew his job was done, you know. He knew he had raised us the right way. Viva Forte had gone to where it was, you know, and then it was kind of like my mission's complete. Like I can finally go home, you know. And at the time, it is sudden, you know, getting woken up in the middle of the night, and him having another heart attack, and that's how he goes. But looking back, it's kind of like he had finally finished raising us, you know, and he finally got to go home. He finally got to go home and rest. He finally got to go be with his Lilu.
Fabi had brought up something. She said that he always lived his life for a purpose. And so you touching on this was kind of like he served his purpose and decided to go. And I think he went on his terms.
Yeah, and I think it was a whole lot of him going home on his terms and kind of God knowing that he had finally completed what he was set on this earth to do, and God calling him home more than anything, you know. I remember after he had his heart attack, he would always talk about how he had his plans for life and how he thought his life was going to turn out. And that when he had his heart attack, that was God's way of telling him that, no, I don't want you to do that, you know. I want you to get more involved in the church, which he did, you know. So it's kind of one of those things where instead of taking his heart attack and not being depressed about his situation and not being overcome and overwhelmed by the fact that he couldn't work like he used to, he couldn't walk like he used to, he couldn't eat the foods that he used to, he was able to persevere over all of that and use it for good and turn his life towards the church and towards God more than anything and helping others, you know. It was always weird coming home for lunch or coming home from work, you know, and there's somebody in the living room that my dad's talking to, you know, just because my dad's someone that would always open his door to anybody that would come in to talk, to listen to whatever they needed, you know. He was always willing to help.
Fabi had said something that was really, I keep saying about Fabi. Oh,
it's about me, you know. Yeah. I'm here, you know. I might just walk out of here.
I don't know. Did she ever tell you about that dream she had where he had told her that she had hugged him and he was cold? Like, it was a week after he passed away, and she asked him why he was, like, why he was cold?
No.
So she asked him why he was cold, and he said, well, because I went home to heaven. And she said, but why? Why did you have to leave? And he said, because I served my purpose. I don't have anything else to do here.
Yeah.
And she has a lot of weird dreams.
Yes.
Have you had any of those experiences or no?
Yeah. Yeah, man. With both my parents, you know, and it's always one of those things where it's like you don't want your dream to end, you know, because it's like you don't know. It's not like, oh, you know, they were in my dreams last night, I'm going to have it again tomorrow, you know, like we could resume. You have them. I mean, I remember my mom passed away. I remember hers was different. She was in an actual hospital bed. And I walk in and she didn't have like the IV anymore. She had her hair was long anymore. Her hair had fallen out because of chemo. It was back to normal, and I remember her telling me, "Thank you for helping me. I'm cured now, you know." And I remember hugging her, and then next thing I know, I'm awake, you know. And you're like, "Damn!" But it's little things like that where they come back and they tell you, "Thank you." And even with my dad, it was actually the Saturday night of Father's Day, so the night before Father's Day, it was my dad, and he was in a room, and he told me thank you, and he was gonna go to sleep. And then I remember I started crying. I was like, wake up, wake up. Like, and then he's like, no, I gotta go. And I remember crying, and I remember my two girls coming up to me and hugging me, and then one of them telling me, it's okay, he's going to go home and rest. You'll get to see him again one day, you know. And then usually it's usually I wake up and start crying when I have a dream like that. But that day, I think it's just because it was Father's Day already, you know, and I wake up and I'm already crying. Like I wasn't, there wasn't a process, but it's just their way of them coming back and telling you that they're okay, you know, and knowing that them coming back for you, you know, it's your parents still looking out for you on the other side.
When your mom passed away, Fabby somehow knew. Did you know that she was gonna pass it? Because she said that you and your dad had left, and she knew that once everybody had left the hospital that she was gonna pass away. And then she was all pissed off at you guys because you had come home, and she got out of the shower and she heard two car doors slam, and she. I remember when that did happen, she told me those a-holes, I knew they were coming home and that she was going to pass away, and she did. And if they would have just stayed, this was like right when it happened though. And it was just,
yeah. So, my mom is, she's kind of like me. Well, not she kind of like me. So me and my mom have kind of the same personality, and we don't like people feeling sorry for us, or we don't like seeing like our close ones and loved ones hurt, you know? So I remember her lung collapsed in October, and she was gone by the middle of November, like almost a month. And back then, Fabby was going to school in Oxnard while she was going through chemo and all that stuff. And my brother was in Irvine going to school, so I got to live most of like taking her to chemo or seeing like her battle with chemo and getting her butt kicked by chemo and coming back home. You know, and it's like when she saw you around, she sucked it up to make herself feel stronger. But one of her lungs collapsed in that October. And when she got discharged to the house, I think she knew that there was something bigger that was wrong with her, that it had reached a certain point. Because I remember she had an appointment with at the cancer center with her doctor, and she didn't want me to go. She wanted somebody else to go interpret. And then that's when they told her what they had seen in the x-rays, and that the cancer had taken up her lungs, you know. And she only had a certain time to live. But she didn't want me, my brother, and my sister to know that, because it was just to protect us. And it was kind of one of those things where she did the same thing. She was fighting when she was in hospice in the hospital, and I think she was waiting for none of us to be there, right? Me, my brother, and my sister. Because she didn't want us to see her pass away. She was trying to protect us. She was being the mom that she always had been, you know, and still continues to be, and looking out for us up there. But I remember Fabby being mad. But I knew what she was doing, and it was just kind of perfect timing that she did that. I remember me and Fabby were home, and then I was about to leave, and then my brother and my dad showed up because they had to do something at the bank, I think, that my dad wanted to do, and then hurried straight back, and I was literally about to go out the door when Fabby got a call saying that she had passed away. And it was I don't want to say it was perfect, but we were all still united when she passed away. And I remember us all locking hands and praying in the living room, my dad taking charge with tears in his eyes and praying for my mom and praying for us to be strong. And that was And that was it. And not that that was it, but I just remember from that point him kind of instilling that same thing where him saying that this is your guys' mom. This is my wife. We're going to do whatever we want to do for this funeral. I know her brothers and sisters are here and mom's here, but she's yours more than she is theirs. So whatever you guys want to do, we're going to do. And I think that kind of leads into, or ties in more, would be the better word, ties into kind of how you saw the three of us walking the dog around the backyard. It was kind of what he had instilled when my mom passed away, of being together and sticking together and doing everything together. Coming back for full circle, you know, and basically what he had taught us.
Yeah, most families don't have that. Like, I don't think my family will, when my mom passes away, like, my family will be that united. Most families aren't. Like, they come together and they go back to being separated again, which is the sad thing, but I'm envious of you guys.
Yeah, and I think Fabby has a whole lot to do with that, especially throughout, not so much, because when tragedy hits, how you said, you all come together, but throughout the rest of the time, she's the one always texting everybody, seeing how you're doing. When you're on vacation or when you're out of town, she's the one that keeps us united. She's amazing, man. She's a great babysitter. If anybody needs a babysitter out there, you know, get her contact information.
The thing that I find a little odd is, like, so they thought my mom had leukemia a couple weeks ago. Well, like a month ago, and I was freaking out. And what came to mind was thinking I'm going to have to watch my mom deteriorate, watch my mom pass away. And you said you took it harder with your dad, but I don't know, I just find that a little strange. Because you had to watch your mom go through so much.
My mom was a warrior. And, I mean, I remember taking her to chemo sessions. And you just see people, and they're doing bad. And they're getting their treatment. And you could just see them sitting in the bed with the IV in. And they're just getting their butt kicked, man. And I would look at my mom, and she would just have her eyes closed. She'd be fine. She would open them, make conversation. And so it, like, never, like, there was, like, up until, like, the Tuesday, she passed away on a Thursday, that Tuesday when she went in a coma, I never thought she was going to pass away from breast cancer. I thought she was going to beat it. I thought she... Because just because of her demeanor and how she handled it. And she did end up beating it. I mean, she's in heaven now. So I think that has the way you see her battle every day. Or I got to see her battle every day with her battle with breast cancer. I think that's what made it easier on me. I mean, I'm pretty sure if I would have seen my mom in there getting her butt kicked like everybody else, it would have been terrible for me, especially because when she passed away I was 18, so that probably would have took a bigger toll on me. But just the way she handled her battle with breast cancer was amazing to me, and made it not easier on me, but and never gave me the train of thought that she was going to pass away from that. And I think a lot of times it showed me just a lot of it is just what you make of it, right? When you have, whether it be cancer or whatever it may be, it's how you handle it. There's either two ways you can handle things, the positive way or the negative way, and just it depends on you. And I mean, I'm not even sure I could handle it like that with that mentality and fight it till the end like she did. I mean, she was just amazing. I remember she went into that coma on a Tuesday in the middle of the morning. I remember I got, when we got to the hospital. We got to the hospital and my brother was there, and then her two sisters who had came from Mexico were there, and my dad was there. And I remember her laying in the hospital bed and her trying to fight out of a coma, like her trying to pick her head up to snap out of it, and she just couldn't. And then her, it just, from then on, it just kind of became a fight. You kind of know what that it's just a fight to see, so everybody can get here, kind of to say goodbye to her. And I remember Fabby got here, and then I remember my dad asking with one of my uncles from LA was gonna get here, if I knew what time he was gonna get here. And I remember telling my dad, she's not waiting for him. She's waiting for my two uncles that live in Texas. And then my dad being like, she told you? I'm like, no, like, I know that's what she's doing. And that night, I remember we had seen her, like, struggle the whole day, seen her fight. At times have to pull for air, even though she had the oxygen in, having to pull for air with her mouth, and seeing that battle the whole day. I remember kicking everybody out of the hospital room except for my brothers and sisters, my dad, my uncles, and my grandma. And I remember telling her it was okay, you know, that we were going to be okay. That if she wanted to go home, she could go home. That she had done her job. We were gonna be okay. And that everything that she had taught us, we were gonna put into action. And then, just like that, she started poking her head up, like one by one. The next thing you know, she opens her eyes, right? And she opens her eyes and she wanted to say goodbye to us one last time. And it was just, it was awesome to see. It was awesome to see. It showed me that anything's possible, right? Like, with the help of God, anything's possible. And when you fight hard enough, anything's possible. And her fighting through to get there, just to say bye to us. Because she knew, again, that she knew that we needed that, like, and it was amazing. I mean, it was, she was blowing kisses to everybody. It was one of those things where one of my aunts that was here from Mexico, she kept on telling her, tell him. And my aunt was thinking, well, what do I tell him? So she started naming on stuff, and she wanted to remind us to listen to my dad, to listen to my dad, and to always be united, even then, you know. And it was kind of one of those things where my dad, after that night, would tell us that, you know, that was the night that my mom showed us how to fight for whatever you believe in, how to fight whatever you want. And that same night, I remember my dad sang a song to my mom, because she was awake and my dad had stepped out. And I remember asking my mom if she wanted my dad to sing to him. And my dad comes back in the room and I was like, she wants you to sing to her. And my dad, like, already tearing up, you know, and him saying, well, what if I can't? And I remember telling my mom, I was like, he can't, huh, Mom? And she looked at him and she was like, yep. And my dad's looking back at her like, well, even if I couldn't, like, I'm doing it now. and him singing to her. And I just remember the look they had in each other's eyes, which was awesome. I think at his rosary, When I was up there talking about him, I remember saying that that night my mom taught us how to fight, but my dad taught us how to love that night too, right? That you,
yeah, I remember that.
That you love until the end, and that you love with all you got, and that's what he taught us. And it's crazy how by that point they had been married for 24 years. It was all accumulated. It was all shown to us, everything that they had taught us, everything that they wanted us to be. It accumulated to about an hour span, you know, when all that was going on. And it was an amazing night, and a night that I'll never forget.
Do you wish you had that moment with your dad, or are you just okay with him passing away?
Initially, right, you think of all the stuff. You think of all the stuff that you missed out on, but it was kind of how I was talking about earlier, about how that from that Friday morning until he passed away, we had all that. We just didn't know, you know. We didn't know it was happening. And not that we didn't appreciate it, because we do appreciate it, but maybe you would have, like, stopped to take more pictures and stuff if you knew it was going to end. But that's the beauty of life, right? Like, it can be gone at any second. And that's also the scary thing about life, is that it could be gone at any second. And it just teaches you to what he always taught us, you know, to appreciate life, because every day is a blessing. You don't know if you're going to get tomorrow. So it kind of instills that a little bit more. But we did have that with him giving out that scholarship. I remember that morning, that Friday morning. I remember I gave him his polo for the event. And I remember he was on his computer, and I think I had just come back from Santa Barbara picking up the karaoke machine, and I gave it to him, and I was heading out. And I remember him seeing the polo in him. So I remember he started crying, and he was just saying thank you for all that you guys do for your mom. And I remember hugging him back and telling him that it was what he had taught us, teaching us how to serve, which kind of brings it full circle and just makes it all the better. I remember the next day, the Saturday, him talking about how his two granddaughters, Kiana and Emma, how they were working the door, and their one's at the time was 10 and the other one was 8. And him just talking about how that's what it was all about, teaching him how to give back at an early age, because we need to serve others. We need to give back. We need to work. We need to serve, which was what he taught us, you know? So, I mean, it is hard in the morning, that morning, getting woken up and that he had the heart attack, and having the paramedics show up and them try to help him out, me performing, Fabi on the phone crying, calling 911, me doing CPR until they got there, and all that shock of the moment. But I think it just reinstilled what he had been telling us since he had his heart attack, you know, that every day is a blessing. We got to make the most out of every day. Even that whole year, just the battle that he had gone through, having to start dialysis, and not complaining about anything. It was just awesome.
So I think what your dad really left was a legacy of giving back, and I hope that everyone listening can take that and apply it to their lives and some way give back somehow. It doesn't matter how big or small. Wanted to thank Nestor for sharing his take on his mom and dad. What was their names?
Liluvina and Antonio.
And you can find their organization on Facebook. It's under
It's Team Viva Puerta. That's the group page. We don't really post on that. The most that we post on that is usually for the karaoke night that we have every November. The best way to keep in contact is on Instagram. And the handle for that one is at Team Viva Fuerte. All one word. TEAMVIVAFUERTE.
Yeah, because I wouldn't know how to get to it. Well, I want to thank Nestor again one more time for being a guest and sharing his side of the events that happened between his family and the loss of his mom and the loss of his dad. And
I want to just thank my buddy Nestor for coming on the show and sharing his side of things. And they actually have a date now for their fourth annual Viva Fuerte karaoke night. I think I said that right. It's Saturday, November 17th at 6 p.m. at the Boys and Girls Club in Santa Maria, California. So if you are in the area, I highly recommend that you attend. It is a fun event. I wouldn't know. I've never been because every year they decide to have it on my birthday. So again, my birthday is the 19th, but I celebrate it the weekend before, and every weekend it's like the week they always plan it this way. They don't want me there. I know they don't want me there. That's the whole reason they plan it this way. So if you're in the area or you want more information, you can go to Team Viva Fuerte on Facebook and find the event. It's Saturday, November 17th at 6 p.m. at the Boys and Girls Club of Santa Maria, California. And for this week, I just want to thank everyone for joining me, and I hope to see you next week. So for Tony the Beat, I'm Tony the Beat. Take care of those you love. Spread Hope Like Fire is a production of the Spread Hope Like Fire Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit. As always, I like to remind everybody, the things that we discuss upon the podcast are not a substitute or a replacement for seeking treatment and getting professional help. If in fact you are struggling with your mental health, we urge you to please reach out to your community and see which professionals are accepting new clients and get that professional help and talking to that professional that you need. This show is intended as a educational and informational psychoeducation of the field of psychology. For Spread Hope Like Fire and Anthony G, I'm Anthony G, and we will see you later.